coming back. With every painful step, I'm getting closer. Closer to you, and to Peter, John, and the other disciples. My feet, they're killing me. A quick rest, that's what I need. Quick break. Oh. Hello, I'm sorry I didn't see you there. I see you're also taking a rest from the road. My name is Cleopas. I've been on the road all day. I'm extremely tired. Sorry, what was that? Where did I come from? That's a good question. I came from Jerusalem. No, my friends, I'm not a very slow walker. My day started in Jerusalem. I've walked in the hot sun. I got to my destination, and then something unbelievable happened. So unbelievable that I had to come back and share with my friends and other believers. You see, today it started like every other day, that has for the last 3 days anyway. What's become our norm? Everyone got up. We were sad and upset, and rightfully so. Jesus was gone. He was in a tomb. Some of the ladies had gathered spices and they went to the tomb. And they came back far too quickly with this wild, crazy story. The stone had been rolled back. The tomb was empty. The body was gone. Then Mary. I don't understand Mary. She said that an angel spoke to her. Told her that he's alive. Alive? That's impossible. I saw how savagely they beat him. I saw him on the cross as that spear went into his side. His lifeless body. Our hopes put in the tomb. Then Peter, John, not believing in themselves, they ran to the tomb and they came right back and said the same thing. It was empty. The body was gone. Well, that's the time I said, Cleopas, it's time to hit the road, Jack. Don't come back here no more. So I packed up all my things and a friend of mine and I, we headed out to Emmaus. As we were walking along, we were talking about everything that's happened the last couple days. When this stranger came up beside us and he asked us, what are you talking about? He didn't know. I don't know how you could be from this region and not know what's going on. He had to be from another planet or someplace. So anyway, there was a long road ahead of us, so we began to explain to him the wondrous things that Jesus had done. How he was powerful before God in words and in deeds. How not even a week ago, he came to Jerusalem, people proclaiming him as king. And then it suddenly changed. He was betrayed, put on trial. He was beaten and crucified and laid in a tomb. So many of us had believed in him. Believed that he was our Redeemer. Those dreams died too. That was when our new traveling companion, he spoke up. He appeared and sounded like a very knowledgeable man, if not somewhat socially awkward. His first words were an insult. He called us slow of heart. But then he began to explain to us the scriptures. Things that I had never understood before. He spoke about Moses and all the prophets and how throughout Scripture we've been told time and again that the Christ must suffer many things before he comes into his glory. I must admit, I've never heard a man speak with such authority like this. It made the trip to Emmaus go quickly. My heart began to feel different. The darkness that I've felt for the last 3 days was filled with a hope as I listened to him. And before I knew it, we were in Emmaus in front of my house. I knew I couldn't let him go. My heart wanted to hold on to this man. So I did what I could. I invited him inside for a meal. I was so happy that he agreed. And as we sat down, this stranger, he took the bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. And as he handed it to us, our eyes were opened. The stranger, it was Jesus. He was alive. He was in my room. He was at my table. I went to say something and he was gone. Disappeared. Well, I just knew I had to go back. I had to tell all the believers that he is alive. They were right. Mary was right. My friend stayed in Emmaus. He didn't want to come. And I headed off. And I have to admit, it was a lonely walk. And I began to think. And I felt some guilt and shame. It came over me like a wave. I wondered, what did Jesus think of me? About my lack of faith. See, I've followed him for many years now. I've seen people who turned away and left him because they didn't like what he said. And here I was, going home to Emmaus. I turned my back on him. And he'd only been gone 3 days. Then his words came back to me about the Christ suffering. My image, what I pictured of the Christ to be, the Messiah, as a great conquering king who would take care of our oppressors. And I realized, because Jesus suffered these things and died on the cross, it didn't disqualify him from being the Christ. It was the exact opposite. Because he suffered these things, it made him uniquely qualified as the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. I can't wait to get back to Jerusalem. My friends, I encourage you to share what you've heard, my story, with those that you come in contact with. But I've spoken far too long. I know you want to get back. So I'll leave you with this. Friday was not a dark day. I see that now. It was the culmination of everything that God has foretold us throughout Scripture with all our prophets. Be happy, my friends. Safe travels. Praise God. He is alive.
Wow. 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 I can't believe it. I mean, this is unbelievable. I can't believe this. This is incredible. It's like, oh, hi there, friend. Sorry. My head is still spinning from what just happened in that upper room. I mean, what I just saw with my own eyes, what I just touched with my own hands, it's like, look, you wouldn't believe me even if I told you. I didn't believe it at first either. But that's why you're here in town, right? That's why you've come to visit Jerusalem. You've heard the news and you've come to see for yourself if it is true. Could it be true? If you told me a week ago, I would have said that you were crazy. I would have said you were hallucinating. I would have said you were simply seeing what you wanted to see. That couldn't be true, though. Not after I saw them do to him what they did. Not after I saw what he went through. Look, sorry if I seem a little distracted. Let me introduce myself. My name is Thomas. You know, I go by many names, though. Some people have called me Tom, Tommy, the twin, or one of my least favorite recently, the doubter. Not such a fan of that one. Here's hoping it doesn't stick. But you know, I've been with Jesus from the beginning. When he first called me, I'm one of his disciples. He first called me to come and follow him, to be one of the 12. And over the last 3 years, I've seen Jesus do some unbelievable things, some miracles, things that are hard to believe, especially for a skeptic like me. Like, I've seen Jesus make a blind man see again. I've seen Jesus make the lame walk again. One time I saw Jesus calm the wind and the waves with just his voice. Another time I saw him walk on water. Truth. I saw him feed crowds of thousands of people with 2 fish and 5 loaves. I've seen Jesus cleanse lepers. I've seen him cast out demons. I've seen Jesus raise the dead. I've seen Jesus raise the dead. And how come I have such a hard time believing a week ago when I first heard the news? How come I doubted that he was alive? You know, I never doubted his death. You know, when he first told us that he had to come back to Jerusalem, I knew. I knew it was the beginning of the end for him. And you know, Jesus, he heard that his friend Lazarus had died from a sickness, and he even said, like, I'm glad that I wasn't there when Lazarus died, he told us, so that you would believe. I didn't understand what he meant, but a lot of what Jesus said confused us. But we never stopped believing. But we tried to remind him. We said, Jesus, the last time you were in town, the last time you were in Jerusalem, the Jews, they tried to stone you, Jesus. Jesus, you can't go back there. That didn't stop Jesus. He had this look in his eye. And as the rest were trying to convince him not to go, I saw this look, and I realized that he already knew. He knew that coming back here would be his end. He knew that it would cost him his life. And so I spoke up, and I said, let us go with him, that we may also die. I would follow that man anywhere, even to the grave. As a matter of fact, that's what we did. We followed him to the grave, to Lazarus's grave. And when we got there, Lazarus, he had been dead already for 4 days. That didn't stop Jesus. He stood there in front of that grave, and he ordered the people to roll the stone away. And they rolled the stone, and he stood almost as if he was going toe-to-toe with death itself. Like he was having a face-off with death. And then he got this look in his eye. This look. I've seen this look so many times before. It was the look that he got every time he was about to do something unbelievable. It was the look of calm assurance. It was the look of victory. As if he knew he had already won. And he stood there in front of that tomb and he called out in a loud voice. He said, Lazarus, come out. And then we heard this beautiful sound. It was the sound of an echo from deep within that tomb, that previously silent tomb. It was the sound of a dead man walking, because Lazarus walked out of the grave that day. It was unbelievable. After we saw Jesus do that, we knew that he could do anything. I mean, Jesus was on a roll. Shortly after that, he got welcomed back into Jerusalem like a king. I mean, you should have been there that day. It was incredible. The crowds that swarmed from all over the city surrounding him and celebrating him as king and shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. You could hear it echo all throughout the city. They welcomed him as their king, and they invited his kingdom. It felt like a coronation, and I was confused at the time, of all things. Why did Jesus pick a donkey to ride in as a king? It just, you know, Jesus, he always does things a little different, so we figured he had his reasons for that too. But it was incredible. I wish I could just hold on to that moment, because it was that moment that I felt that this was it. This is what we had been training for the last 3 years. This is the moment we've been preparing for with Jesus, for this very moment. This was it. But it was a moment that wasn't meant to last. Because a week later, Jesus was arrested. He was illegally tried. And he was sentenced, convicted, to die on a cross. You know, I would follow that man anywhere. But that day as they led him up that hill to die, I didn't follow him because I was scared. I was scared because how am I supposed to follow Jesus if he's dead? So I watched him walk up that hill, and I kept thinking, like, he's going to do something miraculous. He's going to do something. He's going to beat death just like he'd done before. So I watched from a safe distance. But Jesus didn't do anything. I watched as they led him up that hill. I watched as they nailed him to that cross. They raised him up. I watched as he hung there for 6 long hours. I kept thinking, he can come back from this. He's going to be okay. Jesus can beat this thing. But then I watched as he took his final breath. He cried out. He hung his head, and I watched him die. Now, how could they do this to their king? How could they do this to my king? And then a soldier nearby, he grabbed a spear, and just to make sure, he pierced Jesus with the spear to confirm that he was dead, and then I knew it was over. I knew it was done. That was over a week ago. You know, 3 days after Jesus had died, Peter and John were racing through the streets. You know, those guys are so competitive. They were running through the streets of Jerusalem looking for me, and then when they found me, they said, "Thomas, Thomas, you are never going to believe this." They were right. I didn't. They said, "Jesus is alive, Thomas." I said, "No, no, 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 no way, no, no, it's not true. It can't be true because I saw what they did to him. I saw what happened to him on that cross. I saw them take his body, his dead body, and they laid him in a tomb. Nobody comes back from that." I said, "Thomas, listen. We saw Jesus with our own eyes. We touched him with our own hands. Thomas, he breathed on us the Holy Spirit." I said, "Now that sounds like something Jesus would do." But I still couldn't believe. I said, "And if it is true, how come he hasn't appeared to me? How come I haven't been able to touch him with my own hands?" I wanted to believe. I really did. But it just didn't seem fair. I just needed to know. I needed to see. I needed to touch. Well, that was a week ago. Since then, things have changed. You see, because I just came from that upper room. When we were gathered together, the disciples, the door was closed. It was locked. And Jesus just appeared in the middle of the room. And he looked right at me. And he looked at me with that exact same look he had that day when he stood in front of that tomb of Lazarus. It was the look of calm assurance. It was the look of victory, because he knew he had already won. And he looked right at me, and he called me by name. He said, "Thomas, Thomas, come." And he invited me to examine his hands and his side where they pierced him. And I knew. I fell to my knees and I cried out, "My Lord and my God." He's alive. He's alive. And so after that, Jesus, he disappeared again. We don't know where he is right now, but let me tell you, I don't have all the answers, friend. I don't. And I realize how this must sound to you right now, but I know one thing is true, that whatever happened up there, although it might be unexplainable in some ways, I now know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it is undeniable. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He's alive. Well, I must be going, friend. Peter, he invited me and some of the other disciples to go on a fishing trip. He's been going on all week about some rooster thing. I don't know what he's talking about. But you know what? I think he just needs to clear his head. I think he needs to find answers, and he needs to feel some peace. So I hope Peter finds the peace and the answers like I have found. So I'm off. But as the good Lord says, shalom, peace be with you.
What a week. What a week this has been. I feel like I'm in shock or something. I'm sorry. My name is Peter, and how to explain to you what's been going on within me? Well, maybe this will help. Have you ever been to sea on a smaller boat, and you come into a sea storm, and you're riding the waves, and they're up and they're down, they're up and they're down. That's what's been going on inside of me emotionally. Up and down, up and down. Oh, but let me try to help you understand. Let me fill you in so you don't think I'm some kind of crazy man here this morning. Jesus, the rabbi. I'm sure you've heard of him. I mean, he's the talk of the city. And this is the Jesus who I confessed as the Son of God. Jesus, who walked on the water, I know because I was there, and I walked on the water too, for a little bit. Yeah, I walked on the water. And this is the Jesus who restored sight to the blind, who caused those who were paralyzed to have movement again. I know because I was there. This is the Jesus who got a lunch some little kid brought, and he blessed it. And it fed 5,000 men. And then when you count the wives and the children, it's more like 20,000 people were fed by a little tiny lunch. I know, because I was there. I handed it out. I collected the baskets after it was done. Oh my goodness, we had so much food. This is Jesus who restored life to those who were dead. I'm sure you've probably maybe heard of Lazarus. Let me tell you, he was dead for so long. Woo! He was smelling bad. And Jesus called him out and brought him back to life. Oh my goodness. This is Jesus who taught with authority. Spoke like no one had ever heard before. This is Jesus who talked about establishing the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, those of us who were his disciples, we were getting in on the bottom floor. We had ideas of how that would turn out for us. And this is Jesus. This is Jesus who loved people. And let me tell you, Jesus loved people that the religious leaders, they didn't like too much, but Jesus loved them. And children, oh my goodness, don't get me started on children. Jesus loved kids. He was always telling us, you know, we need to have faith like children. And that's where I dropped the ball. That's where I failed. I don't know how it all went so sideways. It was just a week ago. I mean, I tell you, it was like party time. Because Jesus was entering the city, people were cheering, they were laying their cloaks down in palm branches, they were celebrating that Jesus was coming. And we all thought, hey, this is it, this is it, this is when Jesus is going to make his move, say goodbye to Roman rule. It's time. Jesus is going to establish his kingdom. And then we had a Passover meal together with Jesus, myself and the other disciples. And it was unlike any Passover meal I'd ever had before. Jesus, he spoke about his love for us. And then he washed our feet. Okay, that's what the lowest of the low servants do. And Jesus was our rabbi, our master, our leader. And he wanted to wash our feet. Now, I got to tell you, I said some silly things. But Jesus washed my feet. And then he started talking about how someone was going to betray him and that we all were going to desert him. And I'm like, no way. Not okay, Jesus, maybe some of these other guys, Thomas, but not me. No way. Jesus, I would rather die. No, it's not happening. And he looked at me and said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And I thought, Jesus, no. No, that it's not going to play out that way. And yet, things began to play out just like Jesus said. We had gone to the garden for some time of prayer, and Judas showed up and betrayed Jesus. The soldiers came to take him, and I tell you, this was not going to happen. I whipped out the sword I had concealed, and I whacked off one of the guy's ears. I was like, I'm ready. Come on, bring it on. And Jesus got between us. And he gave me that look. That look that was so full of love, but the look that said, "Peter, you just don't get what's happening here." And he picked up that ear. He stuck it back on his head. He healed the guy. And they still arrested him. They led him away. And I followed. I followed. And as I went, I'm not sure what happened within me. There's a sense of dread came over me and this fear. And I had kind of got myself set up and they had kind of built a little fire and I was trying to keep myself warm. And Jesus was off to the side. I could still see him. Others had scattered. I was going with him. I was watching and then some little servant girl asked me, "Hey, are you one of those disciples?" And it just popped out. No, not me. Mm-mm. Someone else asked me, "Hey, weren't you with Jesus?" No. Maybe someone who looks like me. Not me. No. And the third time it happened. "Hey, aren't you a Galilean? Weren't you with Jesus?" And I started to call down curses on myself. "What is wrong with you people? No, I'm not with him." And the rooster crowed. And I looked over to Jesus, and he was looking straight at me. When he needed me most, I denied him. My faith failed. I'd blown it. I'd been one of his disciples, and here I was denying him. And you cannot understand. I wanted to die right there. I was overwhelmed with grief and what I had done. I left. I think you know what happened. They took Jesus away. Some mock trial. They beat him. They nailed him to a cross. He died there. They put him in a tomb. He was dead. It was over. And the rest of us, a few days later, we were gathered together. And I remember thinking, how did it go so wrong so fast? I mean, we had such hopes and dreams, and now. And then Mary came in. She was beside herself with excitement. She told us that the body was gone and that there had been an angel there. And the angel told her, "Go tell the disciples and Peter that he has risen." What? Now, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, he had risen. That's amazing. But you need to understand what it meant to me. He had instructed the angel to say, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." And Peter, me! I had blown it. I mean, I had dropped the ball so badly. I mean, I should have been out of the game, never again to be in his presence. And yet, here he was saying, "Peter, you are still my disciple. You are still one of mine." There was this joy that was rising up within me. And then later on, we were all in a room together in a home, and the doors are shut. They're bolted shut. And Jesus appears. Whoa! Let me tell you, I felt him. I touched him. Okay, I hugged him. And I didn't want to let him go. I was like, "I am not letting you go." Like, I just couldn't believe it. There he was. He was alive. You need to understand. Death could not handle him. The grave could not hold him. Jesus had risen. And all that he had told us began to make sense. We began to understand that on the cross, Jesus had paid the debt, our debt for, well, he paid the debt for my sin. He paid the debt for your sin. And he made the way open for us to come into a relationship with him and with God the Father. All we had to do was ask. The relationship I have with Jesus, you can too. If you just ask to be forgiven, accept him as your Lord, that it is available to all. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will not be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses those who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Oh, my friends, this day, you gotta know, Jesus is alive. He is alive. Everything he said was true. Our Lord, our God is alive. Oh, it's a happy day. Yes, he is alive.